Welcome to the City Heart Podcast. I'm Pastor Kevin Reed. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that you're encouraged and enlightened by this message. But we're going to kick off a brand new series today called Squad Goals, and I'm really excited about this series. It's a new one that the Lord kind of put on my heart a few months ago, and then I was kind of waiting on when's going to be the right time, and this just happened to work out perfectly with the timing. So we're going to kick into it. If you have your Bibles, I'm not going to pull on time. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to begin reading there. As well, on your phones, if you have your smartphone, you can download the Bible app. It's the YouVersion Bible app, and you can actually get our notes there. So if you want to follow along with where we're going, you can check it out in YouVersion and just search City Heart under events, and it'll pull up all the notes for today, a good portion of them, and you can kind of follow along with notes, and we actually keep them up all week. So you can check back throughout the week to kind of, hey, man, what was PK's scripture on Sunday? You can go back and look, and the notes will be there, and the scriptures will be there, and it's a great way to just stay connected throughout the week, and we sometimes post further information there as well. But again, we're looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to begin reading in verse 12, and we're going to read 12 through 18, but we're going to begin reading in verse 12, and it says this. It says, now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Really practical there. I love that. Rejoice always. Pray continually. These are the verses that I used to quote when, you know, you had to read a verse and you couldn't remember one. This is always one of my favorites. Rejoice always. I was like, man, that's a verse in the Bible, right? First lesson, 5:16. Anyway, verse 17, pray continually. Verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We're going to check out one more verse. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the book of Proverbs. If you kind of split your Bible down the middle, you'll wind up somewhere in Psalms, hang a right for a couple pages, and you'll run into Proverbs there. And we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 27, and we're going to read in verse 17. It's just this one verse here, and it says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. We're checking out our new series, Squad Goals. Bow your head, let's pray really quickly, and we'll jump into our message. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day, for it's a day that you have created. And Lord, we do rejoice today, and we're so glad in it, and we thank you for this opportunity to hear from you. Lord, I pray right now that I would decrease, that you might increase in this moment. Let your Holy Spirit speak. Lord, take away anything in me that might try to speak over what you're trying to say, that a word of encouragement, a word of hope, Lord, a word of community and connection might reach us today. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, help that word to sink into our hearts, that we would not only hear it, but that we would be doers of your word. We give you the glory because you're worthy, you're so faithful, and you love us so much. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, everybody said, got to make sure you're awake. Everybody said? Yeah, awesome. Awesome. Great. As I said, I'm really excited for this series, Squad Goals. When I think of a squad, it's kind of like, you know, it's basically a team, right? It's basically a team. If we're thinking about what a squad is a team. And there's different types of teams or squads that are around. You have your family, you have your friends, right? You have your work buddies, right? Some of you might be in a social club, or, you know, you might have colleagues, or whatever it might be, right? I was never really a big team person, like, growing up. Like, I didn't play a bunch of sports growing up, just to be quite honest, right? I played baseball for a little bit, played basketball when I was, like, 10 or 11 and was terrible, right? I was the one kid that you did not want to pick, right? right? And it's kind of, you know, I'm black, and, you know, they're like, oh, you're going to play basketball. He's going to be great. No, I wasn't good. I was like, terrible. And I remember, we were actually talking yesterday. I remember, like, the first time I played in the, like, it was like a city league, and I was mortified, like, literally petrified, scared. But, you know, I had on, we were talking about this yesterday, I had, you know, D. Brown back in the day, used to play for the Celtics. I'm from Boston, right? D. Brown played for the Celtics. And the year that I started to play was the year the Reebok pumps came out. Right? And so I was like, okay, I can do this, right? Let's go play some basketball. Like, I was like, I was scared, but I was like, you know what? I was like, yes, I'm going to go play. And then somebody passed me the ball, and I was like, I didn't know what to do. Like, I was that kid. Like, ah, like, I freaked out. Like, just pickup games, I was great. I was fine. You know, I had this, like, little cross hook, but give me, like, a real game, like, just froze, right? And I froze in that moment. I was like, my mom's yelling at me, pass the ball! And I'm like, ah, right? It's kind of one of those moves. I didn't know. That's just who I was. But man, I was like, I loved being a part of a team. Man, it was like, I was like, wow, this is great. I really enjoy this. This is really cool being a part of a team. And you know, I am a Boston fan, so you don't have to talk about my Patriots since we're talking about teams, since they are the greatest team of all time. They were playing the NFL, sorry, Saints fans and Cowboys fans. I'm sorry for you, but Tom Brady. There you go. Anyways, the Patriots and, like, the Celtics and, like, the Bruins and the Red Sox, they have this tradition now, right? Because we win so many championships in Boston, I'm just going to brag on my city and all the championships that we win, they have this thing now where they actually go to each other's place when they win a championship, right? So, like, the Patriots, obviously, we won the last, may I remind you of that again, the Patriots won a Super Bowl, like, 7 weeks ago. Anyway, so Patriots won a Super Bowl, right? And so what do they do? Opening day for the Red Sox. They took their championship trophy, all five of them, right? And they went to Fenway Park and, you know, they celebrated at Fenway Park, right? They went to a baseball game to celebrate that. And then we've seen over time where, like, the Red Sox have done that. They've gone to a Patriots game, you know, when they won in 2004 and they won again, what was it, 11, right? And they brought their championship trophy to Foxborough Stadium. And it was like, man, you know, and the Bruins did it too, right? So it was this camaraderie because of who they are as a team. Like, and now in the city, it's like, man, we don't care about anything else but championships. Everything else is failure. This is, if you're not winning a championship, forget about it. It's not like Cleveland or, like, you know, New Orleans, you might win a random one, like, here and there, right? I'm just dogging. I'm going to get it later. Anyway, that's fine. It's fine. But it's like, man, that's the pursuit. It's like, man, I'm trying to win some championships. Like, that. And so they all kind of push and encourage each other at this point. It's kind of, it's the standard. Right? It's the standard, man. We're trying to win championships. And that's what happens when you're in a squad, right? A squad, let me give you kind of a definition. It's a group of people pursuing a shared purpose, right? It's a group of people pursuing a shared purpose. And so it leads us to that, what is that purpose? It's our squad goal. It's kind of what we're talking about, right? End of series, right there, right? This is our squad goal. It's a shared purpose that a group seeks to accomplish collectively, right? So not only am I on a team, I'm on a squad, but we're pursuing something. But if there's a goal that we have as a squad, it's something that we do together, right? It's something that we do collectively. Like, you know, so when you come here to this church, the City Heart Church, we're just a big squad. That's all this is. Right? We get together, we hang out, we love the Lord, we worship together, we do that stuff. Man, this is just a big old squad. And the purpose of why we get together, you know, whether it's a Saturday for setup, hint, hint, wink, wink, right? If it's a Saturday for setup, or if it's, you know, small group, hint, hint, week, week, you know, we just finished the semester, there's one coming up in June, you can jump in a small group, right? When we do that, when we come here on a Sunday, this is squad, that's who we are, right? We're here together to pursue a shared purpose. And that shared purpose for us is doing life together, right? It's loving the Lord, but it's really being able to do life together. That's the purpose here. And you see this theme of doing life together. You see it throughout the Bible. You see this this community or this, you know, it's not just me alone. You see it throughout the Word. Let's take a look. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9 says this. It says, two are better than one. two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. That's why I'm on a squad. It's because it's not just about me, and I don't want it to just be me. I don't want to be by myself, right? Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Can't do it by yourself. Verse 12 says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. So if I get into a fight, man, I want to get into a fight with a bunch of people. I don't want to be by myself. I might get knocked out, you know. But, man, if it's a couple of us in a fight, great, awesome, let's fight. And in the end of verse, I love it, it says, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. So even better than two, two is great. Two is better than one, but even better than two is three, right? It's not going to be easily broken. It's saying, man, this your squad should be growing. It shouldn't be just you or even two. Man, let's go even further than that. And when you look throughout the Bible, it said there's these consistent themes. There's connection and fellowship, and you see interconnectedness all throughout the Bible, where what I'm looking to achieve in life is done with the help of others. Right? It's not just me, it's not just about me, but it's really, man, I'm helping somebody else out and they're helping me out. But for many of us, if we're really honest, for many of us, we want to do the exact opposite of that, right? Stay away from me. You know, you kind of stay over there, I'll stay over here. We want to be, you know, independent and autonomous, right? I mean, I just let me do my thing. You do your thing way over there, and let me do my own thing. That's kind of how we are. It's like, man, give me a cabin in the woods, right? Put a nice fence up around it. It's okay if it's electrified. Right. I want video cameras kind of up top and looking down to see what's going on, make sure nobody's coming. You know what? Don't even put a doorbell on a thing because nobody should be coming by. And just for good measure, put a big, nasty, ugly, big old dog out front. Right. That's how we kind of want to live. It's just like everything else. Everybody else is just far away. And let me kind of be in my space, my little bubble. Don't touch me. You know, just leave me alone. If we're honest, for a lot of people, that's how we want to live. We just want to live by ourselves and alone. And even in our culture, as Americans, I wouldn't want to live anywhere else. But as Americans, it's really woven into our culture. It's woven into our culture to be independent and alone, to not be connected, to not be together. It's to kind of, you stay over there and do your thing, and I'm going to stay over here. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I, like I said, I love this country with all my heart. I wouldn't want to live anywhere else. But I also recognize that independence and autonomy has to stay in the right perspective. Right? It has to be in the right perspective, because if you go too far off in the independence and autonomy, really what you're getting to at the heart of it, really what happens in the end, and really at the heart of independence and autonomy, if we're honest about it, it's really about separation, right? I want to be separate. Leave me alone. Let me do my thing. I want to be separate. Here's why we like independence. It's because we really like that feeling of strength and control, right? That's why I'm independent, because I want to control my own stuff. I feel strong in me, and you're good over there. I want to feel that. And we like that feeling of autonomy, of being by ourselves. Why? Because we can hide our faults. You don't have to know what's going on in my world. Don't worry about what's going on in my world, right? Leave my stuff alone. You stay over there, right? And it kind of, what we're doing is setting up a barrier to protect ourselves from getting hurt. I don't want to be hurt. So as long as you stay over there and I stay over here, you don't have to know what's going on in my world. I can be by myself. And on its surface, that independence and autonomy, it's desirable. I get it. I want it sometimes. There's some days where I'm just like, you know, let me be in my own space by myself. Let me be in my own environment. I don't need anybody else around. I just want it to just be me. But the thing about that separation that independence and autonomy brings is that eventually, if it's not checked, if it's not kept in a proper perspective, that separation can quickly turn to selfishness, if we're honest, right? It can get to the point where it's not just, oh, I want to be separate. It's, oh, I don't want to be bothered. You know, it can be like, yeah, I just kind of don't even want to deal with anybody. That's how it can be. And that selfishness, if it starts to creep into pride, right? It was like, I'm kind of too good to be around the rest of you people. Right? And now we've gone to the point where now we're into sin. Because we've gone from separating where, you know, it's okay to have some moments of separation, but now we've developed selfishness and we've developed pride, and now we're into sin. But what's the flip side to that? What is something that could be different than that? It's squad. It's this collective, it's this place where it's not just me. I'm not just by myself. And what comes from that, what we see in a squad, whether it's your family, whether it's your friends, even if it's your coworkers or your neighbors, there's love that's there, right? And where there's love, now you start to open yourself up to accountability, right? It's now, yes, it's me, but I have somebody else they're kind of looking out for me, and I'm kind of looking out for them too. They're checking up on me, and I'm checking up on them too. And from that accountability, now you get sharpening, right? Not only am I checking out for them, but you know what? Man, some of their good habits are rubbing off on me. I'm being sharpened by who they are, and vice versa. They're being sharpened by me, right? And when you do that, when you have all that, it leads to growth. It leads to growth. Growth really is the big, man. If there's anything that a squad is about, it's growth, where I'm growing. Why? Because I have love, and because I feel that genuine love, it's, man, now I don't mind kind of people checking up on me. You know why? Because I know that they really have my back. I know that they really love me and they really care about me. And so I don't mind them. I don't mind them helping to sharpen me, helping me to be sharpened. And I don't mind helping to sharpen somebody else, right? And that leads to me growing. Let's check it out what that sharpening means. Proverbs 27:17, we read it earlier. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Right? Let's take a look at it in the Message translation, because I think it kind of helps to make it really clear. And it says, you use steel to sharpen steel, and one friend sharpens another. The reason why I pointed this one out is because really, if you're going to shape iron, like the actual iron substance, like steel, you actually need steel, right? You're not going to shape it with a sponge. You're not going to shape a steel knife with a sponge. You need something. That's why you see, like, Gordon Ramsay. I'm a kitchen nightmare. It's like anything Gordon Ramsay does, because he just yells at people, I kind of love it. Let me just say that. But anyway, you ever see, watch his shows, you're always seeing Gordon doing this with the knife, right? He's always sharpening the knife. He has a little stick, and he's just, right? What is he doing? He's sharpening iron. He's sharpening that steel. And so that's kind of an example for us, because if my life is going to be shaped, if it's going to be sharpened by somebody else, if I'm saying, man, I'm going to be in that squad, if I'm going to allow myself to do that and to be accountable, I need to get around and really stay around people that are of the same substance as what I'm trying to be, right? And if I'm doing that, and if I'm saying, okay, if my substance of who I'm trying to be is a follower of Christ, then I need to probably hang around some other Christians every once in a while, right? Then I need to be around some people that are trying to follow and do the same things that I'm trying to do. If I'm trying to live right, I need to be around some people that are trying to live right. If I'm trying to live holy, I need to be around some people that maybe they're trying to live holy too. Not saying they're perfect, but they're trying, right? They're of that same substance. They're trying to do the same things, right? And really, if we think about it, what's at the substance that we're really trying to connect to and be like is Christ. We're trying to be like Jesus. Jesus is really that iron that I'm sharpening to, which means that I should be looking to be a part of a squad where people are, that's their substance. That's who they're trying to be, man. They're trying to be like Christ. I'm trying to be like Christ. Man, that's squad. I'm trying to be like somebody that's trying to do those same things. Not that that's the only people that I hang out with, but for the most part, not even for the most part, but there's at least somebody, one other person that's trying to live this Christian life the right way. Man, I'm trying to connect with them because I need Christ. I'm trying to be shaped by some other people. And you know what? Because of squad, I'm going to allow myself to be used to be sharpened as well, right? So there might be somebody else that, man, they need some sharpening in some areas. There might be somebody that maybe they're not even fully really understanding what it means to be a follower of Christ, but I'm going to open up myself so that, man, you know what? My life can be an example to them. I can be somebody that they can come and lean on, that they can pray with, that I can pray for them. And I can see, hey, watch out in that area because you're kind of slipping there. And not that you're judging them, but you're saying, you know what? You're my squad. You're on my team, so I'm trying to help you out. A lot of times what happens and why people don't necessarily like Christians, let's just be honest, is because they feel like we're judging them. But if it comes from a place of love and there's accountability, right? And because there's accountability, we've kind of opened ourselves up. Now I'm at a place where they're saying, you know what? I don't mind if you help me out in this area, right? Let me give you an example. It's like, you know, every once in a while, it's going to be kind of gross here. I'm sorry. I'm just going to apologize in advance. Y'all know me. I'm crazy. But anyway, right? Every once in a while, you know, there might be a little something hanging from my nose. It happens to the best of us, right? It's going to be something that happens. And you know what? The worst thing that can happen if you have something hanging to your nose, something hanging from your nose, nobody tells you. Nobody's willing to be like, dude, you got, like, seriously, big old one hanging, like, hairs, everything is just coming down. That's the worst thing. Like, and you're walking around all day, just big old, right? And nobody's telling you anything. That's like the worst thing that can happen. But if I'm in a squad, there's somebody that's sharpening me. For me, it's my wife. She tells me all the time, babe, like, get it together, man. I'm like, okay, I'm sorry, you know. She's who I help, you know, to be sharpened with. We have to be willing not only to receive in those relationships, but also to give, right? Because in that giving where I'm opening myself up or I'm allowing myself to be shaped by somebody else, there's growth. That's one of our core values of the church. We give and grow. Right? You all have heard this, right? You reap what you, right? Which means that I need to be sowing into somebody else. If I'm going to reap friendship, if I'm going to reap anything, or if I'm going to even reap happiness and joy from a connection with them, I have to be willing to sow. I have to be willing to give. I have to be willing to go beyond just what I normally would do. And so we choose that intimacy and autonomy. Why? Because it feels safe. It can be vulnerable to say, man, I'm going to open up myself to somebody. I get it. I'm going to open up myself to let somebody else be able to talk about, help me out. I don't need no help. I don't need your help. Right? That takes you really being able to open up and say, you know what? I maybe could really use some help. Right? But really that safety that we're looking for comes in community. It comes in that fellowship and that interconnectedness. That's really what we should be desiring. And it's really because we are made in the image of God. Right? And if God does it, that means maybe that I should do it. If you go back to the beginning of time when God created the earth, right? Let's actually, I don't know if we have it, but God, when he created the earth, it wasn't just him. It was him and the Holy Spirit and Jesus, right? Actually, we do have it. It's Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. God wasn't alone. God the Father wasn't alone. He had the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ with him. Okay, you need another example? All right, well, let's go to Jesus. Jesus had his disciples, right? It was a group of people that he hung around with. They ate together. They kind of, you know, they traveled together. They served together. These people were, that was squad. That's the original one. And you can trace back who we are as Christianity now, this church, any church in this city, back to 12 people. Think about that. You can trace any church. No, I don't care what church it is. Anything that calls itself a church, you can trace that back to one squad. That's how much of an effect that squad can have, is that you can trace it back that far, which means for us is that, man, this is probably something that we should be pursuing for ourselves, something that we should see because we're a reflection of who God is. God is a God of community. He's a God of fellowship, a God of communion, a God of interaction. We are his creation, which means that it's necessarily in us. It's in us. And you saw it with Jesus and his disciples. What he established with them was a relationship. And it was actually a special relationship called a covenant. A covenant. It's a covenant relationship. That's what he established with them. And what is it? What is a covenant? It's a sacred relationship. It's a strong commitment, right? When you take your marriage vows, that's you take covenant vows, right? You're saying that I'm going to be with you. It's something, this is serious. This is no joke, right? So for the guys in here and you're waiting, okay, let's get on it, right? It's time. You're over time. Anyway, but in marriage, you take those covenant vows, and covenant comes from the Hebrew word to cut, right? It means to cut. So if we're in a relationship and we're saying it means to cut, that means I have to be willing to give of myself to be cut, right? Because if I'm saying, okay, we're in a relationship and that's a covenant relationship, that means both parties have to agree, I'm going to allow myself to be cut, right? I'm going to allow myself to be cut. And what that produces, if I cut myself, what's going to happen? I'm going to bleed. Right? And blood is the symbol of what covenant is, right? Back in the day, the original covenant that was made was with God when Adam and Eve sinned, right? And what happens is that he sacrificed animals. He had to cut animals. That was the first shedding of blood ever so that he could cover Adam and Eve. You saw it again with Abraham. He made a covenant with Abraham. And with Abraham, Abraham really was asleep the whole time. But basically what God did is that he cut animals to make sure. He's saying, man, I'm making a bond with you. There's something that it's not going to be broken. Right? It's that two is better than one again. And then one of the ones that you see that has kind of the most influence that when you think of covenant now, what most people think of is one particular relationship. And that's David and Jonathan. If you look at 1 Samuel chapter 18, we can read it here. 1 Samuel chapter 18, it says this. So we can check out the story. It says, after David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. Let me set the story for you, set the stage for you here. David had just slayed Goliath, right? By this point, this means that David has already been anointed to be the future king. Saul is still alive, right? And so David kills Goliath, and now he's meeting with Saul, meeting with the guy who's, man, I'm going to take your job in a little while here, right? And so Saul has his family around, and Jonathan was Saul's son, right? So it's like, man, this is somebody that honestly should have been an enemy of David, should have been somebody that probably David wouldn't have hung out with a whole lot. But what you see here is something different. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. That's so hatred. I want to go home. Can't. No. But what happened here? We see in verse 3, and Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. What happened when you make covenant back in the day is literally you would slit your wrist. That's where we get the phrase slit your wrist from. You would literally slit your wrist and come in, Jamar, real quick. And you would literally cut with somebody else. Now, let me pull out this knife. No, I'm just playing. Anyway, what you would do is that you would shake hands like this, but you would have cut. Each person would have cut themselves and saying, hey, I'm going to make a bond. Right? And I don't know if you've ever seen a weird kind of movie with Justin Timberlake called Just in Time. I don't know if anybody's ever seen it. Really terrible, bad movie, right? You've seen it. But what they do this, and you see them turn their hands and trying to get time. You have to watch the movie. I'm sorry, weird reference. Anyway, but what you do is they would cut themselves, and then they would shake on it. It's really where we get the process of shaking hands from. It's literally from this process. What it means is that I'm making a covenant with you. There's shedding of blood, and we're mixing that blood together. So now whatever in you is in me, and what's ever in me is also in you. It's a bond that can never be broken. I'm saying for forevermore, right, as we see, you'll see a scar forever. And somebody comes up to me and they see that scar, they know, oh, this dude's in covenant with somebody. He's in somebody's squad. And if you see me, all of Jamar is, everything that he is now mine. And is protecting of me and is given to me. And the same thing goes the other way. Everything that is mine, he now can lay claim to. I'm giving it willingly so that the representation of our bond is forever. That's good, Jamar. Thank you. Blood is what does that. And let me show you here, verse 4. Jonathan also took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. Right? So not only did they have this blood covenant, this blood relationship connection, there was also more to it. Jonathan gave David his robe. Jonathan was a prince. He's the king's son, right? And he gives his robe to David. David, at this point, he's still just a sheep herder. So his clothes probably look jacked up. And you have Jonathan, right, who probably has nice stuff because he's a king's son. And so he says to David, I'm going to give you my robe, right? And what does it represent? It represents his wealth. It represents his prosperity, his status. Each person handing his garment to the other symbolized that everything that belonged to one now belongs to both, right? In the same way, when the sword and the bow and the belt was transferred, that represented the weapons, right? So what he's saying is that if anything were to happen to you, I'm going to stand in place to defend you. I'm going to be in there to help make sure that you're protected. In the same way, if somebody ever comes against you, I'm going out of my way to make sure that I'm protecting that person. That's what a squad does. When you're on a team, you see that. What? Let somebody try to hit LeBron. Let it happen in the game. His team, you see it all the time in baseball, right? People clear the benches. Right? Because, and it could be over the slightest thing, and baseball has kind of the weirdest, craziest kind of, oh, you stepped over the line or you kind of swung your bat a little hard. They're a little kind of mealy with that. But it's like, man, they'll clear the whole bench. Everybody's coming to fight. They're squad. That's family. What? You'll do that. Look, you'll do that for a third cousin you've seen one time at a family reunion 6 years ago, and now you're at the same movie theater. Oh, that's my cousin. Somebody trying to fight them? You ready to take off rings and do your hair a certain way? You ready to go fight? That's your squad, and it doesn't matter. Look, that's forever. That's what squad is all about. And I'm not saying that every relationship is going to be that way, where you're giving all of everything to somebody else. Every relationship's not going to be like that, right? It's not going to be where you're going to identify with every single person in that way. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that you should. What I'm saying is that there's going to be some relationships like that you strategically enter into. And that you strategically find people to say, you know what, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to step out and make you, bring you into my squad and make you a part of who I am. And we saw this same process with Christ. He did this for us, right? What Christ did for us on the cross, when he went to the cross and he died and he rose again, we sang that song Resurrecting today. When he did that, literally what he was saying was, the shedding of my blood is a covenant between you and me. That means forever. Anything that ever comes against you, man, I'm gonna stand in the way of anything that tries to come against you. Right? He took off his princely, his royal robe, and he put it on us. He gave us his garment of righteousness for our garment of sin. Right? So the stuff that I've done wrong, he's saying, look, I'm going to take my robe off, and now forever, you're going to be identified with me, with what I've done. It's no longer just who you are. I'm taking off the best, and I'm giving it to you. And when stuff happens to you, man, I'm going to be there to defend you and to help you and to be there with you. That's what squad is. When we're thinking of, man, why should I be in a covenant? Why should I be in a squad? Why should I open myself up to people? Why should I go beyond, man, just isolating myself and be beyond? We should honestly have the thought, man, of what Jesus did for us. It's not for any reason. It's because, man, I want to bring other people into the fold because I recognize what Christ did for me. He brought me in. Why would I not bring somebody else in? Right? It's like when you're young, and you go to the movies, and maybe, you know, I kind of did this one or two times, right? And you didn't pay for the movies. Well, you paid for one, but then you wanted to see another one. Come on, I know I'm not the only one that did this, right? And what did you do? You kind of went to the back door, and you kind of, you know, just kind of, the breeze just kind of opens the door up. Just happens to happen, right? And you don't kind of, you know, you have one person that comes in, but maybe you see somebody else far away, and you don't just close the door. You kind of, you get in there, right? And just kind of, you do one of these, give it a little bump so it kind of just swings open. I didn't mean, it was the wind. The wind did it. What? I'm trying to make sure that anybody I can get in the door, I'm trying to get as many people in the door as I can. There's as many people as I want to meet, that I want to meet the Lord, what the Lord did to me, I want to extend that to as many other people as I can. I don't want it to just be me that knows the Lord, that has a relationship with him. I'm trying to bring everybody on my team. I want my squad to be big.
That's what we're saying as a church. Don't just come by yourself. Bring somebody with you. Somebody that might not know the Lord as strong as you do, that might not have as good of a relationship. And even if they do, you're saying, hey, I know this really great place where you can come and you can feel welcome. And there's a place where you can find peace and joy and connection to somebody else that's trying to live the same way that you did. Man, and we're just a big old family. We're just a big old team. That's all. That's what this is. It's squad. It's what we're supposed to do. This thing is ultimately, it's about growth. It's about growing. Matthew 22, verse 36 says this. The disciples were talking to Jesus, and they said, Jesus, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, and he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment, right? And the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Pause right there. Love your neighbor as yourself. And I love that. Look, and the second is like it. So I'm supposed to love my neighbor like the sentence before that said, I'm supposed to love my neighbor then with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind, right? So when I'm in relationship, I'm going to love people the same way that I love me, and I'm going to love people the same way that I love God. It's what that verse is saying. We should be doing that in our squad and our relationships. It's so that I can grow and so that I can help somebody else grow. What does that look like? What does being in a squad, what does that look like? Right? What does that relationship look like? We read it earlier, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. Said, now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Right? This is talking about that relationship. It's talking about squad. Live in peace with each other. That's what we're supposed to do in our squad. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. That's squad language right there. That's squad 101. This is the stuff we're supposed to be doing for each other. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. That's squad. That's what that is. That's that relationship. I'm going to do all this stuff because I love them and I'm accountable. And now, man, I can help somebody else out. Rejoice always. When you do something good, I'm going to rejoice. Why? Because we're a squad. We have a covenant relationship. I'm going to be praying continually for you. And I'm praying that you're going to be praying continually for me. Why? Because we're squad. We're in relationship. It's what this thing's about. I'm going to give thanks in all circumstances for my friends, for the people that I'm connected with. Why? Big, big line there. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Squad is Christ, is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Relationship is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Bringing somebody else on is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's exactly what it is. It's what we're saying. What's our goal? It's to grow. How do I grow? I have to be in a relationship with somebody else. I need to be in a squad. I can't do it alone. I can't be a lone ranger forever. Right, I can't be a maverick my entire life. I need to connect with somebody else. I need to find somebody else that I can bring up and somebody that I can sharpen myself with, and I can open myself to have them sharpen themselves against me. This is what we're supposed to be doing. This is what church is about. This is what church looks like. This is what friendship looks like, right? I'm being cut for the sake of my friend, and I'm allowing my friend to be cut for the sake of me. This is what marriage looks like. Right? Where I'm encouraging the person that's with me. It's not just me by myself, but I need the person that I'm with. This is what church looks like. When we come to church, it's not just about me. I need to be saying, man, I'm trying to get as many people in the squad as I can. Ooh, why would I leave somebody out? There's people that need hope. They need love. They need encouragement. They need to know the love of God. It's what growth looks like. When I'm growing, I'm praying continually. When I'm growing, I'm rejoicing always. When I'm growing, I'm holding people in the highest regard. When I'm growing, I'm caring for those that work among me. When I'm growing, I'm helping the weak. This is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. It's that ultimate goal of every squad. Being in a part of a squad, it is growth. Doesn't matter what team, family, whatever it is, you should be growing in that relationship. You can't grow alone. You can't do it by yourself. God's will for you in Christ Jesus, what he wants for all of us, is squad. It's what he wants for us. That's the goal. That's the big overarching goal. It's growth. It's what God wants for us. It's what I want for you. Y'all are part of this church, even in your families, whatever it is, that we would be continually growing. Bow your heads, let's pray.
Thank you for checking out this message from City Heart Church. If you'd like to hear more from this series, or if you'd like to hear more about our church, you can check us out online at cityheartjackson.com, or you can check us out on social media at cityheartjxn.